Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs and chapter 1. God is good. You know what? We've got to keep that in mind and know that even though this world is the hot mess that it is, do we need a Savior? Oh, absolutely. Do we need a shepherd? Absolutely. And it is. It's been a great summer. It's another beautiful day in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as children of God. And I want to preach, I try to tie this together, on a father's love. It's good to have an earthly father that loves you and that you can count on. Some of us have it. Some of us, our fathers have gone to heaven. Some of us are from dysfunctional families, and we've never really experienced a whole lot of that. But overwhelming and surpassing all of that is our Heavenly Father's love for His children. And I want you to know this morning that you are loved by God. A family without a father is at a handicap. A father's love is more than can be explained in words. And then when I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 25 of the greatest words ever penned by way of inspiration. Our Father in heaven loves his children so much that he sent his only begotten son. What a God we have. And those of us that have gotten born again, those of us that have received Christ, we have a heavenly Father. Man, that's a wonderful truth. And a father's love, when John the Baptist came, if you read the Gospel of Luke, it says, I think, it's right in the beginning of the Gospel, right in the beginning of the book, he said, one of the reasons John the Baptist came was to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And much of America is at a great handicap today because there's no father in the home. Some are there. Physically, they have a father, but he's not a father. Some have, a great number, have no physical father, and they're looking for a father figure, and they're looking among their peers, and they're looking in the wrong place. In Proverbs in chapter 1, we read a father's letter, a father speaking to a son. This is Solomon that is preaching here and writing here, and he's writing to his son, Rehoboam. He's giving instruction, a great amount of instruction. We're not going to cover all the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs. It tells us in 1 Kings, he wrote 1,005 songs. He had heavenly wisdom. The early part of Solomon's reign, man, it was a miraculous reign. That was like God was visiting his people over and over again. People traveled from all over the world to hear Solomon. In fact, go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 10. Before we read anything here in Proverbs this morning. 1 Kings in chapter 10. And when the queen of Sheba, that's from Africa, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones when she was come. And it behooves us to have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. I'm talking about the men now. Because there's no room for hypocrisy in the home, in the world, in the culture in which we live. Your children will see right through it. Here's Solomon, and he's so in love with God. Not only does his children see his great devotion to God above, but the fame of his love for God, it travels the world. And here's the Queen of Sheba come, and Solomon, she communed with him for all that was in her heart, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her, took her breath away. And she said unto the king, it was true, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. The wisdom and the prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. And they're blessed of God. And here's the point. Solomon is so right with God that everybody in his immediate vicinity, they're impacted by that. And his fame and his faith in God reaches the whole world, even into the continent of Africa. And a queen makes a trip, a famous trip, to come and hear and talk and speak with King Solomon, because King Solomon was all about Jehovah God. How about in your family? Let me preach to the men here for just a moment. Do your children see someone so in love with God and following so close at the heels of God that wisdom, unheard of heavenly wisdom, comes through you to your family? No hypocrisy. So just as David or Solomon's men were happy around him, your children are happy. Your children are close to God, are drawn to the Savior. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 1. Wisest man that ever lived. Stand with me one more time and let's do a little bit of reading. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. Mentioned five times here in this passage, and instruction to perceive the words of understanding, understanding wisdom, discernment, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety or become savvy to the simple, to the naive, to the young man, knowledge or insight and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Number one thing, Solomon says to his son, fear God. Number one, it's the beginning of wisdom. Respect authority, the authority of God. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And Father, we come to you again. We pray for your blessing in the word of God. I pray, Jesus, this would be a very profitable few moments together where our eyes are focused on the Savior, our Heavenly Father, and how he loves us and how he takes care of us. And God, I pray that you just help me to be personal this morning, kind of like last week, and just may everything be tied into the Word of God in a rightful way. May we rightfully divide and preach the Scriptures this morning. And Lord God, I pray that you touch all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I was reminiscing this week. You get old, you reminisce a little bit. You know, before you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about things. So you reminisce. And my life's pretty busy during the day. Sometimes I get some downtime. Sometimes I'm sitting in there in my office reading my Bible. Something comes to my mind and I reminisce just a little bit. And the truth is, I was reminiscing about my parents. I was reminiscing about my dad. And it was tying in with what I was reading in Proverbs. And there's a lot. My dad was far from a perfect dad, and I don't want to lionize him and make him a legend that he wasn't. But my dad was real. He was real. And he gave to me some gifts. And I want to share some of those truths that he lived out before me. My dad wasn't a preacher kind of guy. He wasn't real preachy at all. But he had a look that could look right through my soul. You know, I'm sitting at the dinner table, and I've done something wrong, and nobody knows about it. And my dad, I look up from my goulash, and there's my dad staring at me, and his eyes would burn into my being. And I think he knows. You know? And the truth is, he wasn't preachy, but he did communicate, and he did share. And I want you to understand this morning that there's a God in heaven he understands as well. And he does know what's going on. And he does communicate. So let me tell you just a little bit about my dad. And the first thing Solomon says to his son is, you become who your friends are. Can't preach all of Proverbs. All the way up to the very end of the Proverbs, it's all about Solomon instructing his son. And the first thing he says is, you become who your friends are. Be careful who you hang out with. If they're running to mischief, you will run right with them. You'll run alongside them. Whatever they accept as being acceptable, even in the family of God, over after a period of time, they will overwhelm you and you'll become just like them. And you'll have the same philosophy and the same thought process that they do. Well, let me just share some things that Dad taught me. And I've been thinking about it all week, so I thought about all kinds more. But I'll just give you five things here this morning. I want to tell my dad I'm thankful for it. I know he's in heaven, and I'm not sure he's listening to what I'm preaching this morning. There's a lot going on in heaven. I'm confident of that. But I want to tell him, and I want to tell him in such a way where like he's here in the room, and not a spooky kind of thing, but like this is something we can all attain to. This is something we can all get done in our lives. Number one, I want to thank my dad for staying with my mom, not getting divorced, not throwing in the towel when things got heavy and tough. In Genesis in chapter 2, we read that a man is to forsake his parents and serve and be. Let's go to it. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, because I don't think forsake is the right word there. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And Adam and Eve, there's that marriage ceremony, and they were put together. Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to stay in Proverbs for the majority of the time. Proverbs chapter 18, and look at verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, my mom wasn't always easy to live with, but my dad knew how to handle her. And I'm not belittling my mom at all. So one day I'm going to see her real soon, and I'm still afraid of mama. I'm still there, right? So, but my dad knew how to handle her. And I look back, and I'm trying to recollect. Just this week, I was trying to think, and I remember some of my earliest memories. I can remember seeing my mom standing in the kitchen and crying. Something had happened. I don't know what it was. Man, I was about 4 years old. We lived in a little schoolhouse on M129. I remember it very well. But as a little boy, that's the only thing. It kind of froze in my mind. I'm thinking, what's going on? I know it was something to do with Dad. No idea. You know, just like every marriage, there's friction periodically. But you don't turn tail and run. And I want to thank my dad for staying with Mom. What if he had not? What if they had separated? 50% of marriages end in divorce in the United States of America. That's not including all the many, many, many thousands and thousands that threw marriage out the window. They're not even getting married. Not even going God's way. Just kind of doing their own thing. So I want to stay with your wife. Stay with your husband. God has ordained the family. That's why it's under such attack in the day and age in which we are living. I want to thank my dad for providing for us. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips lendeth only to penury. My dad was a working man. My dad had a work ethic. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says, he that provides not for his own is worse than an infidel. You may not like this, but men, we're made to work. We're made to have a work ethic. Dad taught me several things about that. Here's my dad's jobs as he was growing up. My earliest memory, he drove dump truck for Whitehead. Then he worked at the holiday service for years and years and years for Bruno Mayer. And then he poured cement at the Escanaba High Rise. Then worked long hours at the Tilden Mine. Then he worked at O'Connor's as a mechanic, and he wrenched on cars. And then he finally ended up at the county garage and ended up retiring from that. I thank God that my dad had a work ethic. He was never afraid to work. He told me this. He said, there's two kinds of people, those who talk about work and those who work. Get it done. He's saying, don't have a clean desk and get nothing done. Roll up your sleeves. My dad was a worker. I'm as lazy as an old hound dog. And I work like mad to keep everybody from knowing how lazy I really am. And he pointed this out too. I remember this, and I thought about this many times as I worked at the Pats Company in the metal shop while I was in Bible college. He said, it's easier to actually work and be productive than to just look like you're working. And in a 10-hour shift, that's a fact. You know, just to look busy, that doesn't get it done, man. You might as well be productive. You might as well be industrious. My dad, I thank God. He stayed with mom. I thank God for providing for us. Man, we had bills that I knew nothing of when I was growing up. I didn't even know what an electric bill was when I was in third grade. I didn't know what it was to have to pay the dairy for the milk that was delivered to the house. I never felt those kinds of pressures. I didn't know what it was to worry about a teenage son. I never knew what it was to carry that kind of burden. But I had an earthly father that did. Bigger than that, I got a heavenly father that does as well. And he knows all the ins and outs, and he knows everything that is going on. So I thank God for providing. So my mom, I shared this, I think, on Mother's Day. I can still hear her sweet voice. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of this world. I can still remember that. My dad had a phrase. I just thought of it this week. I haven't heard it in decades. But he said it over and over and over again. And he wasn't a saved man necessarily at this time when it all started. And you farmers will know exactly what this is. He'd look at me and he'd point his finger at me and something, he'd hit me right in the breast, right here in the chest, right here in the, what do you call that bone right here? I can't remember what it is. Sternum, yeah. He had a finger that could point all the way to my backbone. And he hit me right there like that. And he'd tell me, don't be a sucky calf. I heard that again and again. You know what he's telling me? He's telling me to grow up. He's saying, be mature. I understood what he was saying. You know, I knew what he was dealing with at that time. Don't be a whiner. Don't be a complainer. Be a man. Be real. So I thank my dad for providing for me. I also want to thank him this morning for spanking me. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Oh, that gets people in the day and age in which we're living. I understand the culture, but it's misdirected. And I'm not talking about abusing any children. I'm not talking about beating any children. That's not it at all. It says, verse 24 of chapter 13. None of the teenage boys want me to read this morning because their dad might hear it. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I know, your kids don't need to be spanked. I know they're the exception. I hear that all the time. I know. Don't be naive, all right? He that spareth the rod, he that loveth his son, chasteneth him. My dad sure did love me. In fact, everybody in my extended family loved me. I think dad convinced the entire Chippewa County to love me, because it seemed like no matter whose house we went to, no matter what we were playing out in the woods or out in the barn or wherever it was, we always got in trouble, and they all loved me. You know, every single one of them. And it's important, and I'm glad that my dad spanked me because I needed it. He stood between me and the world. There are a lot of things I didn't get involved in when I was growing up because I was afraid of dad. And then it graduated, and there were a lot of things I didn't get involved in because I didn't want to disappoint my dad. There was that progression. My dad offered correction. When he spoke, I jumped, and I love him to this day. You think about it. You guys have played football. Everybody loved their football coach, not when they were playing, but after they became men. Man, he brought discipline into my life. You hear those kinds of things all the time. You know, why is that? You know, they were looking for a father figure, a role model. And I thank God that my dad brought discipline into my life. I thank my dad for allowing me to play ball. This is just kind of a hometown chat, family chat here this morning, but I trust you'll understand what I'm saying. He taught me to never quit. Luke 6, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. My dad never let me quit on those ball teams. Never let me throw in the towel or turn in my uniform, even when things weren't going right. And I thank him for it. He taught me manhood, firm handshake, look in the eye. He taught me to respect girls. My dad taught me that. He taught me, and he never allowed me to think that the teacher was wrong. Never. That the principal was wrong. and unjust. I don't know what was said outside of my hearing, but as far as I was concerned, the whole world had ganged up with Dad, and they were against me whenever I did anything wrong. He did not allow me to be ruined that way. And I thank God I had the dad that I had. He taught me how to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's out of Proverbs as well. My dad had the wackiest sense of humor. My dad was the biggest practical joker. I heard of everywhere he worked. The county garage, they talk about how he scared them all the time. Everywhere he worked, that was my dad. One thing about my dad, though, is he was the world's lousiest joke teller. He never got to the end of a joke. He laughed so hard that nobody ever heard the punchline. That's just kind of the way it was. But he had that joy in his life, and he gave it to me, and I'm thankful for that as well. I'm thankful he stayed with Mom. I'm thankful that my dad provided for me, protected me. I'm thankful that he spanked me. I'm thankful he allowed me to play ball. And most of all, I'm thankful he got born again. If he had not gotten saved, this is what I was thinking about this week. Looking at my children, my grandchildren, every life that God has allowed me to make any kind of impact on, what would have happened if Dad would have never gotten saved? What would have happened if that one single man did not make that one single decision where he repented of his sin and got born again? Proverbs 8:17. Turn over there, please. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So my mind raced back in preparing this message to where my dad came from. I'm thankful he got born again. If he had not gotten born again, he wouldn't have taken the beer and the liquor out of our house. And I would be a drunkard. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Let's look at that first. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He got born again, the Ham's beer was gone. He got born again, the hard liquor was gone. When he got born again, there was a seventh grade boy in his house, the eldest son, the eldest child, that had already developed a taste for beer. It was in the house. Dad worked a lot of hours. I liked it. If Dad had not gotten born again, that preacher had not come and told him about Jesus, and he had not gotten born again, I'm telling you, Tim Rader would either be in the grave or he'd be a drunk. Period. I'm thankful Dad got saved. I'm thankful he changed his language and he honored God because he had a son. I'm talking about my dad had a son that struggled with that for a lot of years. I'm thankful his language changed. I'm thankful he gave up the cigars, the Tampa Cubs, because if he had not given up those Tampa Cubs, I was growing up in his home thinking that that cigar was manhood. That's what I was thinking. If Dad had not gotten saved, man, where would I be? Thank God for his grace and his mercy. And it was a progression with my dad, like it is for anybody. He was a new creation right away. The cigars didn't go right away, but they went. He was ashamed right away. The music, he had to weed that out. Man, all that old music that he used to listen to, and that's when we all listened to record players. And he had those long play records, and then right towards the end, the VCR, the VHSs or the VCRs, whatever, 8-tracks, that's what it was. We used to listen to that. But before that, man, it was the long play records. And man, all of that music went out the window. My dad really got born again. Now, I'll confess, he hung on to Johnny Cash for a little while. And Ernest Tubb. He liked Ernest Tubb as well. And, you know, I understand that. But all the bad stuff, it was out the window. You know why? He was a new creation. He didn't want to corrupt his boys. He didn't want to corrupt his daughter who would come later. He understood that now he had a grave responsibility. That's what Solomon did with Rehoboam. He said, he gives him all this instruction. He says, man, you got to stay away from these things. You got to watch out where you're going. And that, go to Joshua in chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and I'm done. Joshua and chapter 24. And just one verse. Verse 15. My dad got saved. He stood between me and the world. He corrected me when I did wrong, and it happened often. I cannot tell you. I kind of break out in a cold sweat when I think about it in any detail. I can remember me. I was the oldest cousin. You know, so the buck stops here. And time and time again, all the Raiders, you know, and all the Credimans, when we got together, we couldn't play together for an afternoon without something terrible happening. I mean, terrible, like teeth missed, getting knocked out, and you know, horses getting stabbed with pitchforks, and you know, all kinds of stuff. We're just a wild bunch of little boys. And I remember time and again, all lined up, youngest to oldest, and I'm the oldest, and I'm in the back. And I'm hoping they all get tired. They get tired of spanking anybody before they get to me, but they never did. And I can remember thinking while I was standing in line, watching my cousins and my brothers and all taking the whipping. Why? What's wrong with us? Why do we keep doing this stuff over and over? That while I was waiting in line, that was harder than the spanking. Time and time again. But God gave me a dad who turned to Christ. I've got a heavenly Father, and he watches over me. I've got a heavenly Father, and he provides for me every step of the way. Sometimes we carry heavy burdens, all of us, and he lightens the load. This morning, I encouraged myself in the Lord, and he lightened the load. Well, I'm thankful for him. So Joshua says in chapter 24 in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Or to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. He says there's false gods in every direction. Before we cross the River Jordan, there's all kinds of false gods. The gods of the Amorites, they're all around us. We're living amongst them. But as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's more than just dictating it. And although he dictated it there, I want to give you this information this morning. Joshua led by example. Solomon led by example. Floyd Rader led by example. I understood what authority was because of my dad. So when the teacher said something, I listened because I knew what authority was. And I never went and backtalk about my dad to my mom, because she was a tattletale. And it always come back to me again. You know, the truth is, I knew authority and what it was because of dad. I'm grateful for the earthly father that God gave me. And I trust you are too. Now, understand, none of them are perfect. But we have one in heaven. He is perfect. Are you carrying a heavy burden this morning? Are you carrying a load on your shoulders, a weight that causes you to weep? Are you in the place right now in your life where there's something going on and you can't put it in words? You know exactly what it is, but it's like when you get on your knees and you start talking to God, you don't know how to word it. According to the Bible, that's when the Holy Spirit is there in Romans in chapter 8. And you encourage yourself in the Lord. You don't know how to pray your way out of the problem, what to ask for. God knows. And he knows what you need. And you come to him. And he'll honor that prayer.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.